This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
And hey, good morning, everybody. It is cold, very cold, and we are with you trying to power through the wintertime. We're all ready for spring, right? We're ready for March Madness. We're ready for a little outdoor activity, but that's not today. It is chilly outside. It's Jacob Albrock and Tommy Caster, but that's okay. That's what we're here for. This is the great state of Kansas, by the way. Max Power in producing for us. 869-1240 is the number you can call to get in touch with the program. You can also leave us your video comments. Of course, if you're watching on 12 News Connected, we appreciate it. Facebook, YouTube, X, all the different places you can leave us comments. You can also leave us voice messages on the Odyssey app if you'd like, and we can get those out over the air as well. Tommy, glad to see you're feeling a little better today. Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, feeling good. Feeling, not 100%, but at least better than what I was yesterday. So when I'm sure a lot of people know, you know, when you're sick, like if you can just like sleep all day, typically that helps you. And that's what I did yesterday. After we got done with our show, I slept most of the day. So feeling better today. Glad to be here, ready to get into it.
Back up and at them last night for the Shockers. We'll get to the Shockers in just a second as they get a win over UTSA, as they should. It was tight, but they got it done. We will talk about that. We will talk about K-State and their resurgence with our K-State insider, Tim Fitzgerald. That's coming up a little bit later. I think we will have PJ Glasser in the second hour as well. If so, we'll talk about some futures bets already for next year, what we're looking at, maybe a little basketball. I had a basketball bet, Tommy, last night. That I got to tell you about at some point. I don't know if I already did. I got a lot. I got kind of lucky, honestly. I had a bonus bet that I had won for the Super Bowl that was expiring, and I didn't even know I had it. And it was kind of a big one. I guess it was one of those like jackpot first touchdown split the bonus bill, and I had one. I was like, oh no! And so I put it on like a three legger and hit it. It was awesome. So that was as much of the NBA as I paid attention to last night, honestly. If we're being honest here. But we'll get into some other things with PJ Glasser as well. And then Travis Kelce, he has his New Heights podcast. It drops yesterday, and we get some insight perhaps into his future, which was interesting, I will say. It kind of has us all second guessing whether or not he'll play next year. That's all coming for you today. We'll give away some HTO. We'll give away the opportunity to get on a cruise. We'll give away the opportunity to go watch March Madness in Vegas. All kinds of good stuff for you today. So stay tuned also for your chances to win all those prizes. Tommy, let's start with the Shockers here. Winners last night over UTSA. Three-game win streak. It's first three-game win streak since Thanksgiving. It's first three-game win streak since they started the season 7-0. They had been 6-10 since the last time we saw them on a three-game win streak. So first and foremost, that is great to see. They've been able to string three together. Now, you've got Memphis coming up at home, but one thing at a time, at least winning games they should be winning, as they get it done last night against UTSA 69-64.
Yeah, and you know, also it's their first three-game conference winning streak in 4 years, you know, which tells you a little bit about the way that, you know, that this program has been over the last half of a decade or so. It was a good win, you know, for them. Now, obviously, it wasn't pretty, especially early on in the game. They turned the ball over way too much. You know, ugly to watch that when, you know, I think there was a stretch where they had 5 out of 8 possessions that resulted in a turnover. You know, and so when that sort of thing happens, you know, not fun to watch necessarily, but they were able to, you know, also turn UTSA over as well. So it was that, you know, gritty type mentality, that mentality of, hey, we're going to just make things ugly. We're going to make it difficult on you. At the same time, they made it difficult on themselves too, by turning the ball over like they did. But it was enough in front of the home crowd to be able to get it done. I think that's important. I mean, it's obviously important when it you is. Can string together conference wins like that. And it's a UTSA team that beat you the last time you played them at their place. So you're able to avenge that loss. You're able to leapfrog them in the conference standings. And yeah, it sets up a big-time matchup this weekend at home at Memphis.
It's an interesting game relative to the Shockers, because they didn't play particularly well. They got it done. They turned the ball over. You mentioned it. An insane amount. Way too many turnovers. Way too many turnovers. But they overcame it. UTSA did a good job defensively against Xavier Bell, who's kind of been the straw that has stirred the drink offensively for Wichita State. And they were able to overcome it. They pushed them around as they should down low. And it wasn't even the same stratosphere as far as the rebounding battle. And yeah, they played enough defense. So those are the things we've talked about with the Shockers. Can they get ugly? Can they get nasty like that? And they did last night. Now, I will say this three-game win streak, in full disclosure, has come against the bottom half right now of the American Athletic Conference. The next five games Wichita State plays come inside the top half of the American Athletic Conference. We're going to find out real quick where Wichita State belongs in this thing. Are they a top half team? I think we all feel like they should have been, should be. They're going to have a chance to get out there and prove it, because their next five games come against teams that currently sit in the top half of the AAC. And then they close the season with a couple of the bottom teams again. So let's find out. Let's find out where Wichita State stands. Let's find out where they can, you know, ultimately end up in the standings, because it is kind of a jumbled mess down there in the middle anyway. And they're going to have a chance to move up a little bit. We'll see if they can do it. They're going to have to play better than they did last night, but they were able to get the win. And that, I do think, for a team that has struggled to win games, just win games, that's important to see them be able to win one ugly like that.
Yeah, and I think that when you go to midway through the second half, when the Shockers are down by 8, you know, you're starting to think, man, like, this is not going to work for Wichita State. They're not going to be able to pull this out, find a way to get back into it. And then, you know, all of a sudden, they were able to get those defensive stops. They were able to make some timely shots as well. Xavier Bell, like you mentioned, shot the ball pretty well last night. And I think, you know, super crucial, Quincy Ballard, battling the flu, you know, was able to come in late in the game, and he was able to provide crucial minutes, even though, you know, he wasn't 100%. So I do think all of those things played in together for sure. And I mean, let's be honest, like, Corey Washington had a great offensive performance as well last night for the Shockers. So collectively, yeah, while it was ugly at times, while they turned the ball over way too much, like 20 turnovers in a 40-minute game, way too much. Even though they did that, they were able, when it counted, when it mattered the most, to get the stops and to make the shots that they needed to win.
Yeah, and Bell, big shots late, but struggled most of the game. Right. That was where Beverly and Beverly and Washington, it was good to see those older players step up. Beverly is, you know, there was a time where I thought probably Beverly was going to be that dude. And he did step up and hit some big ones last night, including that late three. And look, Bell has been this revelation. He's by far been the bright spot of this season. We're obviously fond of him because he's local, and he's been great. They picked him up last night. Didn't have a good game. UTSA had a good plan against him, and his teammates picked him up and provided the offense that he wasn't able to for much of the game. And that was awesome to see. That's important stuff. Like, that's what has to happen.
I thought it was important, too, that, you know, even though it wasn't a great shooting night for him, he didn't stop shooting, you know, like he was working his way through it, right?
Yeah,
and like you can't not do that. And there would probably be players out there that if they're having an off shooting night, they're going to be a little bit more hesitant to let it fly. But Wichita State absolutely has to have him working through that. And he did last night, and he was able to have those other guys help pick him up.
Got to do it. So good win, 3 in a row. It's been a while. That in and of itself, no matter what the circumstances are, feels good for the Shockers. Now they get to welcome Memphis in this weekend, and that's going to be a tough one. Ought to be probably the best environment for a basketball game we see at Koch Arena the rest of the way. A Sunday afternoon with no football interference against number 14 Memphis on national television. See if the Shockers can do something special. We'll have more on that game later in the week, but wanted to get to the Shockers win here off the top. When we come back, Travis Kelce, is he coming back? It's a big question now because he wasn't definitive yesterday in some of the things that he said. We'll have that for you next on Sports Daily.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, to Sports Daily. How about your ultimate chance for a trip to... your chance for an ultimate trip to Vegas in March? Winning is easy. Just download the free Odyssey app, log in, and listen to KFH Radio. Listen each day for a minimum of an hour for your daily entry. Includes travel and accommodations for 4 to Las Vegas, plus $20,000 spending cash. Get all the info with the national contest right there at kfhradio.com. Stay at the Circa Resort and Casino, Las Vegas' premium sports viewing destination, and visit the biggest March Hoops party at Stadium Swim. Welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. It is Jake Balbrock. It is Tommy Caster. Tommy, the big kind of news yesterday there, Travis Kelce goes on the New Heights podcast, Dean's brother, talking about the Super Bowl. If you haven't heard it, you can check it out. It's easy to find. I don't know now. Travis Kelce was not clear by any means about his return. I would still lean to him coming back based on some of the things that he said. But I will tell you, if you listen to it and you watch him talk, I don't know that he knows right now. I really don't. I think that, you know, the grind of it, like it did last year, is wearing on him. I think he probably struggles with not being the best statistical, if you want to call it that. Even though I don't think he cares about the stats. I don't know that he feels like he's like the best tight end in football anymore, even though I would contend he's still right up there. I don't know, Tommy. Like it gets hard, I think, after a time. And I think it's wearing on him. And I'm not so sure that it's a lock he's coming back next year now.
One of the things I hate is, you know, when you've got players that just get through like a grueling season. Like, think about it. You go all the way back to June, July with OTAs and then training camp and preseason. Like, you're talking about 8-9 months worth of grueling day in, day out football action. And then it continues on through the playoffs and then the Super Bowl. And then right after, when it's all done, you're trying to expect a 35-year-old guy to say whether or not he's coming back. I don't put much stock into one way or another, because I think once the dust settles, obviously we'll have a much better idea. He'll have a much better idea. Of course, it's his podcast, you know, so he's going to say, you know, what he wants to,
yeah,
and that's totally fine.
I don't have sympathy for the conversation.
Yeah,
he's the one having it on his own podcast.
But like, I mean, let's take a beat. Let's take a minute. I will say, like, I was leading up to the Super Bowl, he was pretty definitive that he felt like he could still go and still play. And I thought, okay, good. We can shut down this conversation early. We don't have to have it. And then, yeah, you're right. He does crack the door open that he may not be returning, you know, as he's talking in the New Heights podcast. I think he'll still probably come back and play. But, you know, it sounded to me like a guy that is tired. I don't blame him. I'd be tired too. It's been a long season. He even talked about the fact that, you know, even though he hasn't been playing for 15 plus years in the league, his seasons have historically been longer than, you know, a lot of other people's, because he's playing additional games every year into January and February, which we don't really take that into account. But I do think that that's an important point.
I think we know a few things about Travis Kelce. A, he loves football. He loves his teammates. I think he loves that piece of it as much as he loves anything else about it. And so that would be the part that I think is hard to walk away from. I think the accolades for him are probably easy to walk away from. There's nothing else for him to prove. This was it, right? He's not going to have another chance to three-peat. This was the last thing, and they didn't get it. So last year, it was like, there's no way he doesn't come back to go for that with his guys. They didn't get it. So now what? That's not there anymore. It's not going to be an accolade thing. He's already got them all, right? Like, he could walk away today, and we'd consider him one of, if not the best tight ends ever. Like, that's, he's a Hall of Famer, all those things. Nothing's going to change with any of that. It's, do you want to, and the other part we know based on, you know, stories for a long time and hearing from former teammates that is the, it's sort of like Tom Brady, right? That was hard. That part was hard for Brady to walk away from. I think the love of football, the love of teammate, the love of a locker room, all of that stuff. He's having a conversation with his brother who went through literally the same thing with Philadelphia. Very, you know, toward the end as they became very famous. Very publicly. Like, that was hard for him to watch. Travis Kelce's wired the same way. Like, it's hard to imagine, I'm sure, not doing this thing that you've loved your entire life, but you're sitting there beat up. You're sitting there questioning, I guess, whether you were able to give it all to your teammates and whether you helped them enough. I don't know. But it's a tough decision. Should he make it on February 13th?
No.
But he should probably make it by March 1st because they got to come up with a plan afterward. Like, that's, sorry, that's the business. And again, like, you're talking about it on your podcast. Like, you've made this a part of everything now.
But don't you think that I don't know. I have a hard time believing that he doesn't know. I have a hard time believing that Andy Reid doesn't know. I think they're probably keeping it close to the vest.
No, I think for sure they don't know. Because
I don't know about that. Because, I mean,
I think he may have a lean. I think he may have an idea of what he wants to do, but that doesn't mean, like, you got to have a lot of conversations. Is everybody comfortable with his contract? Is everybody comfortable with
his role? He's got a great contract. Like, I mean, he's restructured that contract where it's pretty.
Right, and he's taken a discount.
Yeah,
forever,
it's pretty team friendly. So I think everybody's going to be comfortable with that contract.
But it's a business, and those conversations have to happen, just like they do for every player.
I think that everybody knows because Travis Kelce is such a good teammate and such a good leader. He's not leaving, not going to leave the team in the lurch, right? And so if we felt like, and here's the thing, like I remember thinking when they were going heavy on tight end in the draft, remember in free agency, like they went and picked up Irv Smith Jr., they drafted Jared Wiley, they have Noah Gray. I'm like, okay, like they might be putting together a future plan post-Travis Kelce. That really wasn't the case. I mean, Noah Gray could probably step in and be, you know, a halfway decent starting tight end in the league. But it didn't seem like to me that this succession plan was really coming to fruition for Kansas City. I don't think he's going to leave the team in the lurch. I think that they already know, he already knows, and they already know what he's going to be doing, because I don't think that he's going to like let them just like twist in the wind, not knowing what he's going to do.
It's interesting that you've soured on Gray, because at a point this season, I think we're ready to crown him as the
replacement. I didn't sour on Gray. I said I think he could be a decent starting tight end in the league.
I think he is. But I don't think any of that matters for Kelce, because I think Kelce adds, no matter what you have, is so, like, if Gray is good, and I agree, I think Gray is good. There aren't a lot of great ones in football. Kelsey's still one of those, right? He's still one of those great ones. Can he be comfortable to continue to play a diminished role out of necessity, honestly, for himself? I think so, because I think we saw that to some degree this year. I think they really did take it easy and then turn him loose late. Some of that by design, some of that by necessity, probably. But I agree. I think Andy Reid is willing to do that, to have him there. Like, and that's what's so crazy about Kelce, is people act like because he's not the best tight end in football, he's washed and how often did we hear that this year? I'm like, that's insane. Could you imagine saying that about players at other positions, right? Because they're not still the absolute best at their position. They don't have any value anymore. Could you imagine saying that about Jerry Rice? Look at how many great years he put in at the end of his career. Was he the best receiver in football late? No, but he was still awesome. Like, could you imagine Tom Brady's a bad example. Could you imagine saying that about Matt Stafford? Is Matt Stafford still the alpha? No. Won a Super Bowl.
I think it's somebody right? like Drew Brees. Like, you know, would you anybody ever want to say that about Drew Brees? Example. You know, yeah. like he was not the best quarterback in the league for the, you know, last several years of his career, but he was still super effective.
How about Peyton Manning, who won a Super Bowl despite his deficiencies? Yeah. That was a bad year for Manning, and he won a Super Bowl. So, like, I don't want to get into that. That's sort of been the national narrative for a lot of the season, and that's not it at all. Like, it's not that. That's silly. The Chiefs would love to have him back because of solely and only his ability as a football player. And then you add what he means to the team and the locker room and all that stuff. That's, of course, the reason they would love to have him back. But if it was none of that, and he was just a – I can guarantee right now if Travis Kelce was like, you know what, I'm going to be a free agent, there'd be 32 teams that would love to have him just based on what he can do on the football field. That is a fact because he's still really good. Is he what he was 5 years ago? No. Are any of us, right, once we hit a certain age? So I don't think it's any of that. Now, he's got to have an internal, you know – conversation about that. Like, is he okay not being that dude? That's one thing I think.
I think he is, because I think he would have walked away before. Like, even, I mean, remember last year, he was, you know, not he was great, but he wasn't up to his standards that he had set for himself. Like, there were the drops, there were the issues that kind of came up that we were not, you know, really used to seeing from him. I think had he not been okay with the way that the trajectory of his career was going, he probably would have walked away after last year. So I think he's okay with that. I think he's okay with not being the best ever to do it, like, at this point in his career.
I think he was too. It's more of, is he still? And when you hear him talk about how he let his teammates down and he could have been better, and like, that stuff's going to weigh on a guy like Kelce. And so are you willing to get in there and do that again?
Yeah,
and,
but it's so, you know, so raw and fresh from a beatdown in the Super Bowl. Like, again, yeah, like, I get, like, you're talking about your emotions, and that's, you know, what podcasting can do. Like, you and your brother can be honest and, like, all of that. But, man, like, let's everybody collectively, let's just take a beat. Like, take a breath. Let it settle. Let the dust settle a little bit. Now, I think that, you know, everything's going to work out. I think he'll be back. At this point now, I think he will be back. I think he knows he will be back, and I think the team knows he will be back.
I still lean that he'll be back. And again, like, he has made this a conversation today, so I don't have any problem with that. Well, at the same time, I don't have some expectation that he needs to make a decision tomorrow, but he has brought this back into the conversation of his own merit. So I absolutely think it's worth talking about for sure. Now, probably now more than it ever has been, because he's the one who's put it in the headlines today. It's just interesting to me because I was pretty certain he'd come back. Now I think he has entered doubt into the equation, and I'd still lean that he's coming back. But I'm to the point, I guess, where it wouldn't surprise me at all if he doesn't.
What's the motivation for him to return and play next season?
Because he loves football and he loves his teammates.
Well, I think it even goes beyond that. I think it's he has an intense desire to win. And I think that that's a huge part of it. It's that competitive desire to win. That's why Tom Brady played for as long as he did, not because he loved football and he loved his teammates. Like, yeah, that was a part of it, but he had an intense desire to win. And as soon as you walk away from the game, you don't get that outlet anymore to have that winning be a part of your life. That's a huge reason why now Tom Brady is a part owner of the Raiders. Like, it keeps him connected in a, like, even more than being a broadcaster, it connects him to a team to win because he has a competitive desire to win games. I don't think it's about individual accolades for Travis Kelce. He's already got all of them. I don't think it's even about Super Bowl titles. I mean, I think it is. Like, that's the, you know, end goal for everybody.
Right.
But, like, the whole three-peat thing, okay, they didn't get it. But I don't think that that's, like, the end-all be-all for him. It's more about every time he steps foot on that field, he wants to win. He wants to win. He has a competitive desire to win. As soon as you walk away from the game, you don't get that outlet anymore. I think that that's what's going to drive him.
Yeah, Rick really wants us to talk about the contract here. So let's talk about the contract. Asks, is it better to have him back or fixing offensive tackle could be a factor? Certainly could be in free agency. Right now, Travis Kelce is the highest paid tight end in football next year. He will make more on an average year unless somebody redoes their deal, which I don't think will happen. He will be next year's highest paid tight end. He's a free agent right after 2026. So that's kind of it, right? It does feel like next year would be a swan song if he comes back. Does he need to restructure that? Absolutely not. He's given the Chiefs a tremendous discount, essentially his entire career. Would he? Probably. I mean, if there's a way to spread that out a little bit, he gets his guaranteed money. Like I would bet you if collectively, just to answer Rick's question, Brett Veach approaches the leadership of this team, a la Chris Jones, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, we'll kind of keep it there. And they said, look, we can go get Ronnie Stanley. I have a way to make it work. I need all three of you to restructure your deals to make it work. I would bet that all three would be willing to do that. So I don't think it's going to matter ultimately. Yes, he has a big salary. Yes, he's still the highest paid tight end in football. What tight end in football, though, would you say, I would rather have X than Travis Kelce next year, just next year? And that's where I think the national narrative is so tired. There is not a tight end in football right now for next year that you could say with absolute conviction you would take over Travis Kelce.
I love Travis Kelce, don't get me wrong, but
give me the example.
Did you watch Sam Laporta this year for the Lions? I mean, yeah, he's a great tight end. I know Hockenson came back from an injury, so we didn't see him for a full season. I mean, Kittle is still at the top of his game.
Kittle's old too.
Kittle's not as old as Kelce is.
No, but he's 32. He's old for a tight end. By the way, Travis Kelce, more receiving yards this year than Sam Laporta. More catches by a long shot, about 30%
I love Travis Kelce, but I think it's a little bit disingenuous to say there's not a single tight end.
What is disingenuous about it? I'm asking you for one good example.
I gave you a good example. But
you think Sam Laporta is a good example? Travis Kelce was better than Laporta last year.
He had more catches than Sam Laporta did. Okay, he had more catches and yards, but the way that, like, how dynamic was a guy like Sam Laporta a year ago compared to Travis Kelce?
Sam Laporta was dynamic 2 years ago. Sam Laporta was disappointing last year.
Okay, how dynamic was Sam Laporta 2 years ago? If you want to go back.
Dynamic.
Years.
Yeah,
right.
Dynamic 2 years ago. So was Travis Kelce.
Okay, great. I'm not saying that I don't want Travis Kelce. I think that absolutely Travis Kelce is still of value, not only to the Chiefs, but like you mentioned, I agree with you. If he were to go and hit free agency and there would be a bunch of teams lined up to take him, like, I absolutely agree with you about that. But let's not pretend that he is head and shoulders above everybody else in the league. At this point in his career, he's not.
I'm not pretending he's head and shoulders above.
You just said there's not a single tight end for next year that you would rather have on your team than Travis Kelce.
Definitively for 1 year, there's not. I mean, I suppose you could say Brock Bowers or Trey McBride. I'd give you those.
Yeah, Brock Bowers is phenomenal.
I'd give you those two. The rookies and the second-year player that are incredible, I'll give you those two. But my point is, like, his replacement value is zero. Like,
did you watch the way that Dallas Goedert played in Philadelphia this year, especially in the playoffs?
Yeah, he was good in the playoffs. He was not good in the regular season.
Yeah, but he was great in the playoffs.
All the time.
He led them to a Super Bowl.
Helped them to a Super Bowl.
He helped them to a Super Bowl.
I don't
Travis
know who
Kelce
had more receiving yards
this year.
Who had more receiving yards in the postseason overall, Kelce or Goddard? I don't know.
I don't know.
Goddard played an extra game. But my point is, like, to pretend that Travis Kelce isn't a weapon for them.
He absolutely is
year,
a weapon for them.
Listen, now I'm not saying you're saying this, but a lot of people are. And Rick's saying he's getting paid too much money. And my point is, he is not getting paid too much money. He's getting paid just right as the top tight end in football because he still has an argument to be called that. There are two very young tight ends who have emerged the last couple of years that you could, with conviction, say right now would be better. And that's it. That's it. I'm not going to give you Dallas Goedert. You're telling me I have to pick Goedert or Kelce next year for 1 year? I'm taking Kelce all day. All day. We'll find out if Travis Kelce is going to be a wallflower to the NFL next year. It's in the headlines today, not because it's manufactured, because Travis Kelce himself certainly put some question into it yesterday on his own podcast with his brother. Being honest, no problem with it. He's just being honest. He's got some things to think about, and I agree. It got us talking about Travis Kelce and his value still to the NFL. None of this is aimed at you, Tommy, at all, so don't take it that way. But I think people would be surprised if they really dug into this very down year for Travis Kelce as it's been perceived. And I'll even admit that it was a down year. But where it still places him in the current state of the NFL is very, very high. There are a couple of two really good, really good young ones that in a single season basis, I think you could with definity say, yeah, they're right now. They are better. Sam LaPorta, who you brought up, might be, but he certainly had a down year last year in his second season. Dallas Goedert's never played a full season in his career. I think one time in his rookie year, they essentially, and this is why it's interesting you bring his name up. Dallas Goedert and Travis Kelce essentially had the same postseason. Goddard had one more game, but Kelce had more yards per catch. They each had a touchdown. They each had one long catch to sort of inflate it a little bit, but they essentially had the exact same postseason. But Kelce is perceived. And look, it's because he's been so great. I get it. It's because he's been so great that he's basically just compared to himself. My point is, if he doesn't come back next year, that is a massive hole in the Chiefs offense that they now have to fix. Massive. That's a big deal for the Chiefs. It's not like you can just let him go and everything's going to be okay. Consider that we have never seen Patrick Mahomes play without Travis Kelce. Kelce's always playing. He's always healthy. He's always been there. And he's always been the top option for Mahomes. And their cohesion is a big part of what makes Mahomes so great. So his hole to answer some of the questions of, well, he's getting paid too much or, you know, does he help? Absolutely not. Like, this team will not be better because he's gone. It will be worse. And to what degree, I think, becomes the question, because he's always been there. If they don't have him, that's a big deal for them.
It absolutely is a big deal. I think, and I mentioned it last segment, I think he's coming back. I think he'll be back for one more season. I think that the Chiefs will start to put together a succession plan on what they want to do moving forward. Noah Gray is probably a part of that. I don't know beyond that what that looks like. I think my point about Travis Kelce is that, is he still somebody that I would pick over any other tight end in the league? Yeah, probably for next season, I probably would, but it's not like it's him at the very top, and then there's a huge gap, and then there's everybody else, the way that it used to be. He's right. Still at the top, but then everybody else is nipping at his heels. Like, they're right there, too. Like, even the younger guys, like you mentioned, Brock Bowers, Trey McBride, others. Like, and I know that, like, even a guy like Mark Andrews is getting a ton of criticism for what happened in the playoff game with the Ravens. He's been really rock solid and consistent over the course of his time in the league. Like, there are a lot of other tight ends that are now ascending, or that, you know, they're at their peak, and Kelce's coming down a little bit with his age. I would still put Kelce at the top, but it's not like there's this massive gap between him and everybody else like there used to be.
There's absolutely not. My point is, it's not a tight end rich time in the NFL. Now those two young ones, Bowers and McBride, and maybe even LaPorta, I think all those guys have a chance to be like Hall of Fame good. But, you know, like by the time their careers are over. But when we talk about Kelce, we're only talking about next year. Like, it very much to me feels like it's a next year or bust situation for Kelce. When you talk about that, like Kittle is probably more effective, but Kittle's always hurt. You know, Kelce's never hurt. That matters. And so just individually next year, there is no path to being more successful at that position for the Chiefs than Travis Kelce. There's probably not a path at this point that you want to even consider if you're the Chiefs, that you could imagine a better offense without him. Because if he's gone, you're going to have to replace him with something. Now, is it at tight end? Probably not, because he's pretty irreplaceable there, but it's something somewhere that you have to adjust to. So I'm sure the Chiefs are sitting there right now thinking, God, I hope he comes back. Hope he comes back. We'd love to have him. It's this national narrative that annoys me. Oh, he's dating Taylor Swift. He doesn't care. He's old. He's tired. Like, he doesn't have it. My guys, like, get over it. Like, he's 36 and he's still that dude. Is he the, you know, is he what he was 3 years ago? No, of course he's not. He's 36 years old. But Tom Brady at 45 wasn't what he was at 38 either. Peyton Manning wasn't this, but that doesn't mean that they're not insanely valuable to this league and to their teams. And he absolutely is. And it will be a massive problem for the Chiefs this offseason if he's gone. I'm with you. I do still think he'll be back. But I do think the things that he said yesterday give me more doubt than I had 2 weeks ago. The fact that they lost the Super Bowl give me more doubt. I would be far more confident if it was, yeah, they won three straight. Now what if they win four straight? Like, you know, that carrot is gone. That part's out of the picture now.
I don't think that that's a major factor for him one way or the other. Like, now that it's done, I don't. Like, I genuinely don't. I think that for a guy like Travis Kelce, who has done it at the highest level forever, I don't think that it matters whether it's a week one game in September or a chance to go for four Super Bowls. It's the competitive win. I mentioned that in the last segment, the competitive drive to win. It's going to motivate him regardless. I don't think it's about accolades or making history or like to honestly, I just think it's like, okay, the next opportunity to be out on the field to win, that's what's going to drive him. I think that there's far, like you just mentioned the national narrative. I think that national narrative of a three-peat was so much louder externally than it was internally inside the Chiefs building. I think it was a factor? Sure, I think it was a factor, but I don't think it was as major of a factor as what everybody else was putting into it.
So I don't agree with that. I think that chance at history last offseason, when there this question has existed for a while, and that's just because Travis Kelce's older and he's in the spotlight all the time. I do think that was a motivating factor to be like, I got to go be a part of that. Now that that's gone, I don't know if it's like, do I want to walk away with that sour taste in my mouth? Do I want to go get revenge or it, because it's, I don't know, but I think it's a factor. I think winning.
Yeah, but I don't think it's like, hey, they lose, they don't get the three-peat. And then he says, yeah, you know what? I've got nothing to play for anymore. Like, I don't think that's the case.
No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that motivation is different now. Is it enough motivation for, and I do not know. I've never had a personal conversation with Travis Kelce. So I don't know. But I do think it like now maybe like going out on a loss like that. Are you okay with that? I don't know. That would probably be motivating to all. But the thing is, like he's reached this point now where it's not like it's this gray area of should he, like he's 36. Like he could walk away at any point and it would be like, yep, I get it. Cause it's not the same as a quarterback playing to that age. Playing at basically an offensive tackle that can catch is not the same thing as playing quarterback. Like the toll it takes on him is that's why they're not, you know, that's why they don't play until a certain age because it's hard. Like, it is physically demanding. And I think that's the part over the last 2 years that's caught up with him more than anything else, based on the things that he said publicly. That's the part that's caught up with him as much as anything. I don't think it's because he's dating Taylor Swift. I don't think it's because he's hosting a game show and being invited on Saturday Night Live and all that stuff. I don't think it has anything to do with that. The dude can fly on a private jet anywhere he goes. Like, that part's easy. It's physically, like, can I physically and mentally go through this grind again? I think that's some of what you heard yesterday on his podcast. Like, that's the part that's really difficult to imagine. I mean, he's not that young. He's essentially the same age as we are. And I imagine going through what he goes through on a physical toll. And I can't even imagine it. I can't. It's crazy. You can go listen to it. You can chime in, too, on all the different ways you can get in touch with the show. Hour number two of Sports Daily coming right up.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Sports Daily, rocking and rolling on a Thursday, a cold Thursday. Hope everybody's staying warm out there. Your legend begins aboard the Disney Destiny, the all-new ship from Disney Cruise Line, sailing November 2025. Log in and listen to KFH on Odyssey for a chance to win a trip for four to set sail on the Disney Destiny in this national contest. All you need to do is listen for an hour on the Odyssey app. Find out more at kfhradio.com. We'll have a chance to win some HTO as well this hour. It's cold, Tommy, but it's not snowy, rainy, drizzly out there today. So I guess we'll take that as a win. But bundle up. Drizzle. You know why Snoop Dogg carries an umbrella, Tommy?
For drizzle. Yeah. I wouldn't have gotten that one, but you said the word drizzle before, and so you kind of spoiled the punchline a little bit.
I walked you.
That's
into
not
it.
Worthy of a laugh track or a rim shot. Because
it's one of my favorite jokes. We'll let Max be the judge of whether it's worthy of a laugh track or not.
You tipped your hand.
Yeah, I did. I was waiting for to find out if you had your burrito yesterday.
Yeah, I like that.
Yes. Burritos new. That's for drizzle is one of my go-tos. Like, I'll tell that joke seven times a year this time of year because I love it so much. So I got to tell you about this bet, Tommy, last night. So I don't even remember. I know what I got on. I got on to look at the shocker line. So I get on to look at the shocker line last night. I'm like, well, what are we expecting here? And it was like, okay, there it is. And then I was like, bonus bet. What if a bonus bet? And I look, and it was for $96, this bonus bet. And I'm like, what the hell? And it's because, like, on one, it was on the ESPN bet. I had hit that first touchdown that I said I hit, like, that apparently was a part of a big, like, jackpot sweepstakes that I forgot all about. And because it hit, it was like, and you get your share of blah, blah, blah for bonus bets. I guess that's what it was. Had to be. But it expired yesterday. And I'm like, oh no, I have to find a bet. It's a light college basketball slate. You couldn't do like a same game parlay on the Shocker game. And I'm like, all right, I'm not betting the Shockers. I'm not spending a $96 bonus bet on the Shockers. So then I start to look, and I'm like, I'm going to have to make an NBA bet. And then I'm like, you know what? It's kind of free money. We got to do it. We got to do a parlay here, right? Like, we got to parlay that in. Of course. Why not? Because I'm a sucker. And so I'm like, what am I going to do here? So I went with my guy, Austin Reeves, former Shocker, for whatever it was, not points, but like rebounds and assists. I had seen somewhere on the internet that was a good one. And then Jimmy Butler just got traded, and he's on like my fantasy basketball team that I'm not very good at, but I'm like, oh, let's throw him a bone here. And he got it. And then Nikola Jokic was the last one, I think. And I'm like, 25 points for Jokic. Like, I that's easy. He gets that every game. And he got 26 points last night. And I think Butler cleared his by a point or a half a point, but I hit it.
There you go.
It's NBA bet of the season, basically.
It's probably a good thing you didn't bet Luka Doncic, though. Like, he did not have a good game.
No, I'm not.
Like, it was his worst plus minus that he's had in a game this season. I think he was like minus 20 or something in his game. The Lakers lost to the Jazz. The Jazz are not very good. So I don't know. Yeah. I mean, like, that was not a good. I'm glad you didn't put the money on Luka.
I didn't know. I would not do that. Speaking of Luka, like, it's so funny to me, like, no matter, and we've said, like, no matter what happens the rest of his career, it's still a terrible trade for the Mavericks. The Mavericks could, outside of winning an NBA championship, like, nothing will justify the deal for Dallas, and they're not going to
have
win
you,
one.
By the way, have you been following just the absolute drama that's been going on in Dallas? Like, the fans getting ejected from the buildings because they're saying fire Nico Harrison, and Mark Cuban is telling fans to, like, set the F down and shut the F up and, like, all of that?
I have been. I actually have some sympathy for Mark Cuban because he sold his majority stake, but he's still, like, a part owner.
Yeah.
He just doesn't have any power. And I'm like, that has to be excruciating for him to see this all play out. Like, this thing you have worked so hard on, this thing that, you know, before he became a political lightning rod, like, he was considered one of the great owners, right? He won. He was passionate about it. He had revitalized this franchise, which was a total non-factor before he got there. All of those things. And then I don't know the reason he sold his stake or whatever, but he does. And then to see this happening must be one of the more excruciating professional things you can imagine, right? This thing that you've built. It's got to be tough, brutal. And I do have some sympathy for him, but it ends there. I don't have sympathy for anything else. This is one of those things that will lose fans. I don't even know. Like, I really enjoyed the Dirk Nowitzki years. He's one of, if not my favorite player ever. And so I would have said in that era, I was a Mavs fan. But, man, I've also been a Spurs fan. There was a time where I've sort of followed players. Like, I loved Allen Iverson. I was a 76ers fan for a little bit as a kid. Like, there's loose allegiances, I think, in the NBA. And this will cost them dearly. That's why it was such a dumb trade. You can't do that with that dude that everybody loves, that is one of the best young players in the league, and they deserve every bit of what's happening to every single ounce of it. Nico, whoever he is, I don't even know what it is. I've never heard of this guy before he made this trade, full disclosure. He deserves every bit of it because there was no reason to do it. It was an arrogant move. It reminds me of when, over my career in years past, like going way back, not even here, not even in Wichita, but situations where you'd see like administrators get too big for their britches and make decisions where you're like, what are you thinking? And there's like ego involved and like, man, like there was what, not because nobody cares, too long ago and nobody will know who I'm talking about. This happened in a situation two markets ago where a coach was fired, and it was like, what? You did what for what? Like, why? And it was a total disaster and devastating, like devastating to the long-term success. They've never recovered, never. Still to this day, this was 12 years ago, never recovered. So what's going to happen to the Mavericks here? Like, they're not going to recover from this. You don't, they already let Jalen Brunson walk away. Now you let Luka Doncic go? Like, franchises beg to have either one of those types of players, and they're in like for over 30-year stretch, they had two of them. And they let them both go. Like, what are they doing? And it's going to cost them fans. So they deserve all of it. They deserve every bit of it.
And it's just, it's absolute comedy gold that Anthony Davis's first game with the Mavericks, he goes down with an injury where he's going to be out for multiple weeks. I mean, that's just cinema. Like, just the icing on the cake, right?
Like Anthony Davis is, and I feel terrible for him too, because he's awesome. Like, he's so good. Never does anything to make anybody mad. I really like Anthony Davis, and he's going to become the fall guy in this, which sucks for him. Like, that's not fair either. There's just no winning scenario or no winning formula here for the Mavericks. So back to the original point about Luka last night, the Lakers also, like, I don't know that this even makes the Lakers better this year. Like, Luka and LeBron on the court together doesn't make a lot of sense basketball-wise, but you just gifted that franchise their next LeBron. That's who you compare Luka to. That's who his game compares to, is LeBron's. Always has. And so it's like, all right, well, the Lakers just always get this gift in basketball.
Yeah, it allows them relevance for another 15 years, you know, after LeBron. It's kind of like that passing of the torch. You know, LeBron retires at some point. Luka takes the throne and continues to move forward with it, with the Lakers. And that's a huge reason why, you know, I think that, again, this was just an absolute shocker and just wild that the Mavericks made the trade.
It's just the stupidest. Imagine the Royals trading Bobby Witt Jr. to the Yankees for Anthony Volpe, right? Like, good player, you know, can still probably help you, but you just gave up the dude, right? Like, I don't even know how to put it into proper context.
Okay, here's a good one. Bobby Witt being traded to the Angels for Anthony Rendon.
Well, that, right? Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Kind of. But to the Dodgers for, I don't know what a good example is. But the point is, you don't trade Bobby Witt Jr. Yeah. Like, get out of here. Like, he wasn't, you know, he was on sort of an expiring contract, but that's less of a big deal in the NBA because you're going to, you know, you just build around Luka. That's what you do. And your formula to justify it literally has a statue in front of the building. You build around Dirk Nowitzki. Is he the perfect player? Is he the best defender? Is he the greatest physical specimen you've ever seen? Nope. Guess what? He's awesome. He's one of the best in the game. And you'll eventually have the best chance to win if you can just figure out a way to find a team around him, which is what the Mavericks did with Dirk. Anyway, it's just What a mess. What a mess. And they deserve every bit of it. So now I'm like window shopping the NBA. I'm like, well, I don't invest much time in the NBA anyway. I'm definitely not investing in a Luka-less Mavs team. So I'm sort of window shopping a little bit. Like, what do we do here? I've always been a Spurs fan my whole life. I've always enjoyed the Spurs. My 99-year-old great aunt Johnny, who actually might be turning 100 soon, biggest Spurs fan you've ever met in your life. She lives in San Antonio. Like, talk Spurs with you all day. Maybe I'll just jump in with her with Wimby and what they've got.
You could jump in with the Rockets and Van Vliet down there. You could do that.
I've never been a Rockets fan.
How about the Thunder? The Oklahoma City Thunder. Why don't we look at them?
That's the other one. I mean, they're right down the road, and they're awesome.
And SGA is fantastic.
I've never had a pro sports team closer to me geographically than I have right now with the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're the closest team to us. They're closer than the Chiefs, I think, by a few miles. I'd have to look at the map. It's close. Yeah, I could totally get on board with that. Just buzz down. I mean, you know, I'm never going to watch them or never going to go to a game, but when the playoffs come around, I could root for them. So, yeah, maybe that's what I'll do. Or maybe I'll just jump on the Wimby train. I haven't even watched Wimby play much. I watch too much college basketball now. I tune in the postseason. Give me a break. They deserve it. They deserve every bit of it. Let's talk Chiefs offseason. Early takes, top priorities. What's the path? We'll do it next on Sports Day.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Thanks for listening to us over the air. Thanks for listening to us on the Odyssey app. Thanks for watching us on 12 News Connected, Facebook, YouTube X, all kinds of different ways you can get in touch with the program. We'd invite you to do that each and every day. Should have Tim Fitzgerald coming up in about 20 minutes from now. We will have that. We will get you ready for the resume of K-State's really what I want to talk about. So we'll do that in the next segment. How does that resume look? Dug in a little bit on that on the TV side of things yesterday. A few numbers and things to think about. Tommy, you sent me this. It's the new. There is a news item. The YouTube TV Paramount dispute. The timing of it is terrible with March Madness looming. You would think cooler heads would prevail and they can get this sorted out. Most of the time these things get sorted out, but there's a lot of times they don't. And so, yeah, as somebody who, you know, works and cares a great deal about the local CBS affiliate, this matters. And I hope it gets sorted out too. YouTube TV and Paramount now, including CBS, are, you know, in a measuring contest of sorts. And we'll see if that works out. Of course, we have no control over that locally, but it does affect us and it sucks.
It's definitely interesting, I think, for your perspective, because you're a YouTube TV subscriber, as am I.
I know am.
You are.
Yeah.
You also work for, you know, the CBS affiliate. We're getting into March Madness, and, you know, hopefully things will get resolved by, you know, that point. But you never know. I mean, we're talking about Paramount in general, so not just CBS. We're talking TNT, TBS, True TV, even other channels like Comedy Central and MTV, VH1, anything Paramount-related. That there's this whole dispute going on right now, so we'll see what happens with it. Hopefully, cooler heads will prevail.
Yeah, I don't care about any of those other than CBS. I don't think anymore. It doesn't affect me much.
Yeah, but you got March Madness games that could end up being on CBS, TNT.
The CBS part affects me. TNT and TBS are Turner, so you'd still have those. But
that's Paramount, yeah. Though. Like, it doesn't that all like? I thought it was all into the entire thing.
No, I think it's those other channels you mentioned. Turner has TBS and TNT, so I don't think they'd be affected. But yeah, it's the CBS angle of it that I care about. Now, on a personal level, like Fubo, which apparently is a really good one, gets the Red Zone channel and everything else. Like, I'll just switch. I don't care. Like, I've got no allegiance to YouTube TV. They can kiss my rear. I don't care. They charge too much anyway now. So, but on a professional level, it sucks because, yeah, I work for the local CBS and I don't want to see these disputes. I know what they do because I know that our great staff's going to have to sit there and answer the phone. Be like, yeah, we don't. But hopefully it gets worked out. Hopefully everything's fine. They've got plenty of time to do it. They got a month or so. And this is new territory. I don't think we've ever had a dispute with YouTube TV or a dispute with Paramount. So that's a little bit uncharted. Like, we always see that the disputes come with the satellite providers.
And by the way, you're right. Yeah, those other channels won't be affected for March Madness. I wonder if, like, let's say that this extends into March, would they decide to put like additional games on those other channels to make sure that people are able to see them, or like, what would they do?
I don't think so, because you can still catch a lot of you can get, and here would be your, so like, if you're a YouTube, and if you're worried, you can watch K-Witch and CBS games over the air. Like, you can still get K-Witch with an antenna. You don't have to have anything to watch CBS for real. Like, you just put an antenna up and you get the signal. It's not as urgent, I think. Like, I'll give you an example. My brother opened a sports bar back home in Texas. I think in September, in August, there was one of these disputes that bled. I think maybe it was at like Fox and DirecTV or somebody, where they were not able to get football games early, or maybe it was ESPN and DirecTV. It was somebody who carried a lot of football games. That was a big problem for him because that's how he had to get his TV. I think it was ESPN because you couldn't just antenna it. And so that becomes a concern. But for CBS, like, the good news for CBS is it's over the air. Like, K-Witch, it's over the air. Like, we're over the air, we're fine. It'll be like, having to explain it 864 times a day is going to be annoying. But like, I could lose YouTube TV tomorrow and I wouldn't care. I think most people feel that way. You don't have to install it. You don't have to have a guy come out and hook up a bunch of wires. You just go to one of the other streaming services that gives you the same thing for less money, by the way, and you'd be fine. So I think YouTube TV probably doesn't have the bargaining power it thinks it does. I think Paramount probably has far more bargaining power here because YouTube TV has a lot of competitors now, where people can go find what they think they'll be missing, and they'll just lose YouTube. YouTube TV will be there. To me, they're the ones that are going to have to concede here. And I don't know what the numbers are, but what leg do they have to stand on? Because there's 1,000 different ways to get your programming. It would be a mistake to me for YouTube TV to be the one that draws a line in the sand, because we'll just go somewhere else. You can't go somewhere else. You can't not have, like, if you're beholden to CBS or shows or anything like that, you're more beholden to that than you are to YouTube TV. YouTube TV just has the channels for you. They don't provide any of the content.
I'm going to have to tell my 4-year-old that Paw Patrol, you know, that he might not get to watch that for a while. No, I'm kidding.
Or, like, you can switch providers, yeah, and
switch,
you'll
providers,
have
providers, man. You know what I mean? And then, like, we've got Paramount Plus too. So, like,
yeah,
I know that YouTube TV is going to be able, like, I think they're offering a credit to people. So if you want to go and subscribe to Paramount Plus, you can do that, with the money that you saved so you can still get all of that. So, I mean, I think that, you know, eventually, like one way or the other, it's all going to work out. But the timing of it is never ideal, but especially leading into March Madness, and CBS is a huge part of that. Hopefully it all gets resolved soon.
Just have some sympathy for all the people I work with, myself included, whenever I'm there, that are going to have to answer the phone. It's just, you know, pour one out for us, because if this lingers, like you say, into that, it's really going to suck. Hopefully they get the deal done. This kind of stuff is annoying for local TV stations to even have to deal with. All right. So that's out there. I think it'll get done. I'm hopeful. I'm a little nervous. I'm being 100% honest, but I'm hopeful. Let's talk about the Chiefs offseason, Tommy. We talked about Travis Kelce's role in it. I think it's a big one. And whether he plays or not will guide some of what they do in this offseason for sure. If he were to leave, it will, you know, they'll have $16 million, but I don't think they'll replace his production to the offense or his role in it for $16 million. I would tell you that. I would be surprised if they could, maybe, but that'll be one thing to keep an eye on. I don't think, however, it impacts the urgency or the aggression at which they will attack offensive line. They're going to need two of them, probably. I don't think there's a way they're going to be able to get Trey Smith done. Maybe they've done it before and they've surprised us before, honestly, on these deals, but that one seems unattainable right now because I think we'd all agree the greater need is at left tackle. Even though Trey Smith's one of the best in the business, and he is, what's easier to replace? I think we've learned now over the last 4 years, it will be easier for them to replace right guard than left tackle, something they've been working on now for 6 years unsuccessfully.
You've got to go all in on left tackle. And not just because they've had such, you know, a hard time replacing that, but because of how essential and important it is compared to right guard. It doesn't diminish Trey Smith, doesn't diminish what he's done in his career, and he's going to go to, you know, another team and be an all-pro probably for, you know, the remainder of his career. I just think that you've got to try to lean in totally and double down on finally getting a permanent solution at left tackle, because that's such a crucial position, and we've seen what the ramifications are when that position is unsettled. You've got to go all in on that.
Well, and it's interesting too, because the challenge, the biggest challenges for Mahomes has been pressure up the middle, right? So you can make a case that Smith being able to make sure that pressure never comes is important. And I honestly think it's an interesting discussion, but you can't think of it as how good of a run blocker he is, because Andy Reid's never going to run the ball that way. Not consistently. You know, we've got a 30-year track record to show that. It will be, but there will be more options at right guard than there are at left tackle. The Chiefs have shown they're better at evaluating players through the draft inside the offensive line than outside the offensive line. And so we'll have to see.
I would rather them try to replace Trey Smith through the draft.
Yes.
You know, an earlier round, you know, second round, maybe first. Third round, maybe even first round at right guard. But then you go and you sign a high impact left tackle in free agency. If you can make the cap situation work, I think that's the way that you attack it.
I'll give you this, and it's impossible to imagine, but I'll give you a couple different paths that I'd be okay with. Either, and we brought this up last year and it didn't happen to the level that I'm talking about now. It happened to a lesser level with Kingsley Suamataia, who they traded up for. But if you could tell me that they would go up into the draft and take the premier or the top-ranked college left tackle, the top one, right? Not debatable, like, and I don't even know who it is because I haven't started to look at that stuff yet. But like that level of drafted, you know, offensive linemen. So I'll give you a scenario. So they sell out. They re-sign. They find a way to re-sign Trey Smith, and then they literally sell this draft out to move up and take the top left tackle coming out of college. I'd be okay with that path. I could rubber stamp that for sure. Far less likely, though, than going and attacking left tackle through free agency and then sitting where they are later in the draft and taking a few interior linemen to try and replace Trey Smith that way. is there a path where they can do both in free agency? I doubt it. Is there a path where they could re-sign Trey Smith and go trade for another left tackle? Maybe. That's a sort of a third scenario. The good news is they don't, because Worthy has hit and Rice has hit, and because we both still think Kelce will come back, I honestly, like, there's not really anything else urgent in the draft. They'll get Pacheco back healthy. I know a lot of people have said running back. Maybe they take one late, but getting Pacheco back healthy is probably enough for me there. They'll have enough receivers. They'll probably add another veteran receiver through a cheap deal in the offseason. So they kind of, like, this offseason, other than extending the window and making sure you infuse young talent into the roster, but I honestly think you can sell out and use that draft capital and identify like one dude and try to go get him, and to hell with everything else in the draft. That almost never makes sense. I do think it makes some sense this year, if it's out there, and it may not be. But if it's out there, this would be a year to do it if you're the Chiefs, because they don't have any other urgent needs this offseason. Like, what other urgent need, other than if Kelce retires, they don't have any other urgent needs.
So consistently, the top three names that are really being discussed as the main offensive tackle prospects coming into the draft: Will Campbell, LSU, Josh Simmons, Ohio State, Kelvin Banks Jr., Texas. Those are consistently the top three guys. And you're talking about all three of them being projected somewhere between number 8 to number 15 or 16 in the first round.
Okay. And that would be, you could get there if you're the Chiefs. You know, you're not going to get up into the top 3 or 4, most likely, but you could get into the top 15. And so that is, but you can't, you have to do it now. And that's where the risk comes, right? So let's say you trade in and you're number 10, and I'm not looking at the draft board, but let's say you do that, but then you don't get the left tackle. Then what do you do? So you almost, but because you will have, if, and that's if you're going to go re-sign Trey Smith and you do all that stuff. What if you don't get the tackle? Then what do you do? And I think that's where there's the most risk there, because you can't guarantee what player you're going to get. You can project it. You can guess at it. You can't guess if somebody's going to trade ahead of you. You can't guess at any of that. So that's why I don't think that's the most likely. I think the most likely is Trey Smith's not a Chief, and that sucks. That's a bummer. But that's probably the most likely, and then they use all those resources, and they attack left tackle through free agency. That would be my guess. Now, they could attack left tackle through trade again and keep Trey Smith. But again, then you have the same problem you always have in the NFL. Who's trading a left tackle right now? Nobody, right? Like, nobody's trading a left tackle right now. Who would do that? Even bad teams probably have a good young quarterback, and you don't want to trade a left tackle away from a good young quarterback. You want to protect the good young quarterback. So the market would be bare, as it always is, which is why they always try to trade for right tackles who want to be paid like left tackles, and then bring. That's what the Chiefs have done unsuccessfully, by the way. And so I don't know that there's a propensity to do that either. My guess is they'll let Trey Smith go, and they'll attack through free agency, and they'll sign their left tackle that way.
And really, from a free agent perspective, it's really, I mean, wouldn't you say Ronnie Stanley or bust? Like, I don't think it's not a very deep free agent pool for left tackles. I mean, you've got Ronnie Stanley at the top. Cam Robinson is available. I know he had been linked a couple of different times to the Chiefs before. And then Tyron Smith, who's going to be a free agent also. Those are kind of the top three guys, you know, that are available out there in free agency, you know, as a left tackle.
Yeah, Tyron Smith, who is a Hall of Famer, is too old and too injury prone. I think Cam Robinson's probably good enough for me. And that may be, it may be those two. It's probably those two. Or bust. And
it's
they
not
know
like
that.
You have a lot of other options.
And those know. Two know that also. And I would imagine the Vikings have some desire to bring back Robinson, and the Ravens probably have some desire to bring back Ronnie Stanley, although with Lamar Jackson, it's probably less important to invest your resources there than it is for a lot of teams. So I don't know. There's never a lot of options. It's left tackle. It's hard. That's why it's hard. I would say this: if the Chiefs are in love with any of the college tackles, go move up to as high as you can possibly move, right? And I don't even know what that number is, 4, 5, 6. I'm telling you, sell out to get your left tackle, because you can't have this conversation year after year. Mahomes, like, he's getting older. You can't let him take the hits he took for much of this year. You just can't do that. And they have to do it. Maybe there is a team that would be willing to trade. Is Trent Williams, what's Trent Williams' status? Isn't he always angry about something, but still really, really good? Like, what's he doing right now? Like, can you band-aid it again? The problem for them is they never pick high enough in the draft. And so then they have to get tackles that slide down a little bit, and it's just not working. It's not worked the last 2 years.
Let's talk about what Ronnie Stanley is probably going to get on the open market. So according to SpotTrack.com, his market value, he's projected to get a 2-year, $41 million deal.
Oh, I'd do that. I'd be fine with
well,
that.
Well, yeah, but is there that kind of flexibility? Like, it's going to take some restructuring. It's going to take some things for the Chiefs staff to do to make something like that happen. But that's what he's projected to get on the open market. 2 years, $41 million.
When do we get, I don't know the answer to this, when do we get what the cap number is going to be? Because that'll help determine that. Trey Smith coming off the books is, you know, there's just no way they're keeping Trey Smith, which sucks. I can't see it. Unless they know they can get into a draft position and they love one of these players. I don't think it's there.
Go ahead, Max.
$272,500,000. A lot of money.
That's the new cap?
Yes, and the Chiefs are way at the bottom. They don't have the money. They have $3 million, and they're at $3 million something in the red of effective cap space.
But they don't have, do they have dead money? Do you have dead money on there, Max?
Yes, I do. Dead money. The last column, $226,354,000.
So they've got some room there, and they would have to restructure, and they could. I mean, I think you could see restructured deals. It's a tall order is the point of all of this. It ain't easy to find a left tackle. It is Jacob Albrecht. It is Tommy Caster. It is Tim Fitzgerald, publisher. GoPowerCat.com, at Life of Fitz on X. And we are following a story now. What has become the story for us around here, I think, of the college basketball season. K-State, by many metrics, is playing the best basketball of any team in the country since January 28th. It's for real. This is the team we thought we were getting before the season started. Took a really long time to get there. And now this story that becomes so fun to follow, Tim, is can they reach the NCAA tournament? And yes, they can. I pulled this up yesterday, and I'll put this out there, and then we'll get your take on it. So from what I could tell, and the net ranking, remember, is pretty new. So by net ranking in 2022, Rutgers got in as an at-large with a net ranking of 77. That's sort of the range K-State's been hovering right now. They're at 70. By losses, there have been in the last, we'll call it 10 years, there have been three times where teams have gotten in with 15 losses. So it's very much there for K-State. Winning the two that they won against Kansas and Arizona, to me, is really what makes this more pot. Now, they can't stumble, though, much here, if at all. I think they've got room for one loss, maybe two if they can combine it with a couple of big wins, Fitz. But what a wild turnaround this has been.
It has been. It's hard to explain. I've tried to explain it a number of times. It's remarkable how this team is bonded. You know, sometimes and something happens to your team and it brings everyone together. This was kind of a self-inflicted thing. It was suckage. They sucked and they were getting their butts kicked and the fans were upset, and that seemed to have bonded this team in a way that traumas do. And boy, they're playing really good basketball. We're still thinking they can lose two more in the regular season and maybe be on the bubble. We're not saying be in. And they've got seven to go. So they got to go 5-2 at worst. And, you know, that's building in a loss in Kansas City, because if they win in Kansas City, none of this math matters.
Right.
That would put them at 14 losses going into the tournament bidding process. So we'll see. I think certainly K-State is making a name for itself right now nationally. And, you know, these back-to-back wins have been head turning. They've got to be for the committee, but we'll see. You just got to take care of business. You still got a lot of work to do, man. You probably need to win back-to-back games in Utah this weekend, and that's not easy.
I'm not sure that there's been a better player in America over the last five or six games than Doug McDaniel. I mean, just watching what he's done, there were moments in the game against Arizona where I'm like, man, am I watching Marquise Noel out there? Like, it just looks like with his speed and the way that he gets to the basket, I mean, it's impressive to watch.
You know, earlier in the year, we didn't really see this because he was always looking for his shot, his thing. And I think now that we're into the season a little bit and they're asking him to do these things, to, you know, get creative and share the ball, it's like all these layers of his game are coming out. He did a crossover on the big man the other night for Arizona, and it was just sick. I mean, he just ended up his short arm laying it up, and the poor guy, 7 feet tall, had no chance to block a shot on a 6 foot, 5'10" guy. It was a thing of beauty, and he's doing this every game now. What's changed about him is he's sharing the ball at an incredible rate while scoring. I think in these last two games, he's had a combined 17 assists, and that's getting into Marquise Noel territory, but for one game. Still, he's getting there, and I think when we're finding out when Jerome Tang has a point guard like this, watch out, watch out.
We stumbled in, Fitz, on accident to one of those real, like, fun, fake sports talk radio discussions yesterday. I said I think this is a great team, and I took some heat for that, but I stand by it. I do think this is a great team that played insanely bad for a while, but I do think the team we are watching currently is a great team. Do you agree with that?
I do. I've watched this team now win six games, and none of them were flukes.
Right.
None of them. They were the better team on the court for four of those games for sure. Arizona State, which again last night showed they're dangerous,
yeah,
even though they lost. That was a tough game, and Arizona was a really tough game. I think of the teams K-State played during this stretch, I'll say Arizona might be better, and home court advantage was the difference in that game. But this is not a fluke. This has turned into a really good team. This isn't a team getting all the breaks. They didn't play that well against Arizona and won. They went 1-19 from three, and that would have broken their back just, you know, 10 games ago. They'd be done. So it's interesting to watch this. It's fascinating to see how this team's turned around and went from not having a clue what anyone's role was to clear lines of what everyone's doing, and it's obvious, and it's a beautiful thing to watch.
I want to go back to the point that you just made, Fitz, about how they shot 1-19 from beyond the arc and still found a way to win that game. I had wondered, and I'm sure a lot of people had wondered, okay, when this team is not playing at their best, when they're not shooting the ball well, how do they find ways to win? What do you attribute the fact that they were able to actually pull that game out even though they didn't shoot the ball particularly well?
I think they have a lot more confidence in what they're doing offensively, because when they weren't shooting it well in the past from outside, they solved it by trying to shoot it well. You know, they just keep shooting. They get into the 30s of three-point attempts and just miserable output, and you're going to lose. Now they go about attacking the rim and setting up players for, you know, more efficient scoring opportunities, and that's what they did. And a lot of that's Doug attacking the rim, breaking down defenses, moving the ball extremely well. And, they're now better equipped to overcome things, but they're just tougher. They outscored Arizona in the paint, which Arizona was apparently leading the conference in. And the team I saw earlier in the year couldn't do that. They could not rebound someone, let alone outscore them in the paint. And now they're doing these things. They're out rebounding good teams. They're out scoring in the paint. They're getting they had 13 steals against Arizona. Doug McDaniel had five. The defense has ramped up so much. It's a little bit of everything.
I want to ask you about two parts of this team specifically that took and have taken heat a lot. throughout the course of this season. Coleman Hawkins, one of them, mm-hmm. who, again, I try to point this out to people all the time. Like, statistically, and what he's doing on the court is not different than what he was doing when they were losing. And I think he took too much heat for the wrong reasons, because that's just the player he is. I want to, like, how is it going for him off the court? And then Jerome Tang, who also took a ton of heat. And some of it was self-inflicted by the things he was saying.
Yep.
But there was some real concern, and I think the three of us have had it, and most K-State fans, like, was that first year some sort of illusion? I think now that's so far gone, and we're not even, like, that's not even in the stratosphere anymore, because now you're finally seeing the capabilities of the coach, too. How have things changed for those two in all this?
Coleman Hawkins, I think, has played some really good basketball. Again, he wasn't great against Arizona, but he wasn't bad either. He does a lot of glue things that when you're losing, seems like you're not doing anything. When you're winning, people notice that. All those little things you did. He is a tremendous on-court leader. And there strikes me, though, there's a little more self-awareness here. He didn't feel like he had to do it. He had to keep shooting for this team to win. You know, he got the ball to Gaston. He got the ball to other people. He's an incredible passer. I think he's playing really well. And he's playing well within a team concept. And I've never seen that. Honestly, he's one of the most balanced players I've ever seen. There's really not a weakness in his game. He can defend at a high level. He can score if needed. He can rebound. He's an incredible passer. So all of that adds up. Coach Tang's having a blast right now. He talked about in his press conference the other night the fact that when they've gone through this trauma that they went through, now to be on the other side of it is a relief, but having all these wins prove that they are a good team, I think it's fulfilling and relieving, and in a word he loves, it's joyful. And they're just having a blast right now, and they can't lose sight. They just can't. They've got to be 1-0 every time out because every win counts, but now the losses are you got to limit those. That's really your enemy right now.
Well, they're on the road next at BYU. BYU's a team that has been bubbling around, you know, the top 25. Like, they're a good basketball team. I'm not sure that they've gotten the attention that maybe they deserve.
No.
Nationally, what's it going to take on the road against BYU for the Wildcats?
They're really good. As Jerome Tang said, that, you know, they got a couple legitimate high picks on their team. And now these two teams are essentially tied. They are tied in the conference standings. And essentially, K-State's trying to go in there and steal their bubble spot. It may not be immediate, but that would be what they're doing. And this is a brand new, challenging environment for Big 12 teams to go into. The Marriott Center in Provo is a pit. I mean, it's 18,000 seats, and the fans are all around you. They're all screaming. Not a single one of them's drunk. They're all invested in the game. They're eating ice cream. They got pastry breath. It's a beautiful thing. And then to stick around in Utah and then play Utah on Monday, it's quite a turnaround. And KU's doing the opposite, going Utah, BYU. I kind of like this, actually. I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is. It is a cool scheduling quirk and one of those things that'll come up. All right, Fitz, what do you have for us at GoPowerCat.com?
Just plugging away with our coverage. A lot of VIP stuff's been going up lately as we try to break down this basketball team, what they're doing, why they're doing it. And we'll just persist with that. It seems to be working pretty well for the team and for our subscribers. But a basketball podcast went up yesterday as we talk about all these things. And we'll have the Friday shoot around on Friday. Previewing this weekend in Utah and with Clint Stewart, former player, and our Ryan Gilbert. It's always a great show.
All right. And we'll be following along. Jerome Tang back in the national spotlight as far as it comes with college basketball. Everybody's talking about the Cats. That's probably not a bad thing. Helps, I think, when resumes are stacked up against each other. Fitz, we appreciate it.
Thank you, boys. Good to see you.
There goes Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com, our K-State insider. Always good perspective. Bringing the heat on what it's been like there, boots on the ground. And it's very different. Hey, if you want to win some HTO, you can do that right now. All you got to do is text to win. You can win a free iced tea, more than 26 flavors. You can win a iced or hot coffee drink while you're in there. Try the new poppy combination drinks, but you know, the poppy soda cans, poppy soda and tea. You won't believe how good they are together. So when you're getting in there to get that free drink, try one of those two. You can enter once per day, message and data rates apply. All you got to do is text the keyword T, T-E-A, to the short code 20357. That's T20357. Good luck on that, everybody. When we come back, we'll tell you what's coming up on the network tonight. Speaking of those Wildcats, we got something for you here on KFH, your home of K-State Athletics. Stick around. We'll be right back.